Thoughts on the Revival of Religion in New England, 1740, to which is prefixed a narrative of the surprising work of God in Northampton, Massachusetts, 1735. By Jonathan Edwards. Chapter 34. Number 4. Some duties devolving upon all in general. But I would now proceed to mention some things that ought to be done at such a day as this that concern all in general. And here the first thing I shall mention is fasting and prayer. It seems to me that the circumstances of the present work do loudly call God's people to abound in this, whether they consider the experience God has lately given them of the worth of His presence and of the blessed fruits of the infusions of His Spirit to excite them to pray for the continuance and increase and greater extent of such blessings, or whether they consider the great encouragement God has lately given them to pray for the outpourings of His Spirit and the carrying on of this work by the great manifestation He has lately made of the freeness and riches of His grace, and how much there is in what we have seen of the glorious works of God's power and grace to put us in mind of the yet greater things of this nature that He has spoken of in His Word, and to excite our longings for those things in hopes of their approach, or whether we consider the great opposition that Satan makes against this work and the many difficulties with which it is clogged, and the distressing circumstances that some parts of the God's church in this land are under at this day on one account or another. So is God's will, through this wonderful grace, that the prayers of His saints should be one great principal means of carrying on the designs of Christ's kingdom in the world. When God has something very great to accomplish for His church, it is His will that there should precede it the extraordinary prayers of His people, as is manifested by Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 37. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them, together with the context. And it is revealed that when God is about to accomplish great things for His church, He will begin by remarkably pouring out the Spirit of grace and supplication. Zechariah 12, verse 10. If we are not to expect the devil should go out of a particular person that is under a bodily possession without extraordinary prayer, or prayer and fasting, how much less should we expect to have him cast out of the land and the world without him? I am sensible that considerably has been done in duties of this nature in some places, but I do not think so much as God in the present dispensation of His providence calls for. I should think the people of God in this land at such a time as this would be in the way of their duty to do three times so much at fasting and prayer as they do, not only nor principally for the pouring out of the Spirit on those towns and places where they belong, but that God would appear for His church and in mercy to miserable men carry on His work in the land and in the world of mankind and fulfill the things that He has spoken in His Word that His church has been so long wishing and hoping and waiting for. They that make mention of the Lord at this day ought not to keep silence and should give God no rest until He establish and until He make Jerusalem a praise in the earth agreeably to Isaiah chapter 62, verse 6 and 7. Before the first great outpouring of the Spirit of God on the Christian church, which began at Jerusalem, the church of God gave themselves to incessant prayer. Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. There is a time spoken of wherein God will remarkably and wonderfully appear for the deliverance of His church from all her enemies, and when He will avenge His own elect. And Christ reveals that this will be an answer to their incessant prayers or crying day and night, Luke 18:7. In Israel, the Day of Atonement, which was their great day of fasting and prayer, preceded and made way for the glorious and joyful Feast of Tabernacles. When Christ is mysteriously born into the world to rule over all nations, it is represented in the 12th chapter of Revelations as being in consequence of the church's crying and travailing in birth and being in pain to be delivered. One thing here intended, doubtless, is her crying and agonizing in prayer. God seems now at this very time to be waiting for this from us. When God is about to bestow some great blessing on His church, It is often his manner in the first place so to order things in his providence as to show his church their great need of it, and to bring them into distress for want of it, and so put them upon crying earnestly to him for it. Then let us consider God's present dispensations towards his church in this land. A glorious work of his grace has been begun and carried on, and God has of late suffered innumerable difficulties to arise that do in a great measure clog and hinder it, and bring many of God's dear children into great distress. And yet he does not wholly forsake the work of his hand. They are remarkable tokens of his presence, still to be seen here and there, as though he was not forward to forsake us, and if I may say so, as though he had a mind to carry on his work, but only was waiting for something that he expected in us as requisite in order to it. And we have a great deal of reason to think that one thing at least is that we should further acknowledge the greatness and necessity of such a mercy, and our dependency on God for it, in earnest and importunate prayer to him, by the many errors that have been run into, and the wounds we have thereby given ourselves, and the cause that we would promote, and the mischief and confusion we have thereby made. God has hitherto been remarkably showing us our great and universal dependency on him, and exceeding need of his help and grace, which should engage our cries to him for it. There is no way that Christians in a private capacity can do so much to promote the work of God and advance the kingdom of Christ as by prayer. By this, even women, children, and servants may have a public influence. Let persons be never so weak and never so mean and under never so poor advantages to do much for Christ and the souls of men otherwise. Yet, if they have much of the spirit of grace and supplication, in this way they may have power with him that is infinite in power, and has the government of the whole world, and so a poor man in his cottage may have a blessed influence over all the world. God is, if I may say, at the command of the prayer of faith, and in this respect is, as it were, under the power of his people. As princes they have power with God and prevail. Though they may be private persons, their prayers are put up in the name of a mediator, that is, a public person, being the head of the whole church and the Lord of the universe. And if they have a great sense of the importance of eternal things and concern for the precious souls of men, yet they need not regret it that they are not preachers. They may go in their earnestness and agonies of soul and pour out their souls before one that is able to do all things, before him that may speak as freely as ministers. They have a great high priest, though through whom they may come boldly at all times, and may vent themselves before a prayer-hearing Father without any restraint. If the people of God at this day, instead of spending time in fruitless disputing and talking about opposers and judging them, and adverting upon the unreasonableness of their talk and behavior, and its inconsistency with true experience, would be more silent in this way and open their mouths much more before God, and spend more time in fasting and prayer, they would be more in the way of a blessing. And if some Christians in the land that have been complaining of the ministers and struggling in vain to deliver themselves from the difficulties they have complained of under their ministry had said and acted less before men, and had applied themselves with all their might to credit God for their ministers, had it, as it were, risen and stormed heaven with their humble, fervent, and incessant prayers for them, they would have been much more in the way of success. God in his providence, appearing at the present state of things especially, calls on his people in New England to be very much in praying to him for the pouring out of the Spirit upon ministers in the land. For though it is not for us to determine, concerning particular ministers, how much they have of the Spirit of God, yet in the general it is apparent that there is, at this day, need of very great degrees of the presence of God with the ministry in New England, much greater degrees of it than have hitherto been granted. They need it for themselves, and the Church of God stands in extreme need of it. In days of fasting and prayer, wherein the whole church or congregation is concerned, if the whole day, besides which is what is spent in our families, was not spent in the meeting house, but part of it in particular praying companies or societies, it would have a tendency to animate and engage devotion more than if the whole day were spent in public, where the people are no way active themselves in the worship any otherwise than as they join with the minister. The inhabitants of many of our towns are now divided into particular praying societies. Most of the people, young and old, have voluntarily associated themselves in distant companies for mutual assistance in social worship in private houses. What I intend, therefore, is that days of prayer should be spent partly in these distant praying companies. Such a method of keeping a fast as this has several times been proved in the forenoon after the duties of the family and closet. As early as might be, all the people of the congregation have gathered in their particular religious societies, companies of men by themselves and companies of women by themselves, young men by themselves and young women by themselves, and the company of children in all parts of the town by themselves, as many as were capable of social religious exercises, the boys by themselves and the girls by themselves, and about the middle of the day at an appointed hour, all have met together in the house of God to offer up public prayers and to hear a sermon suitable to the occasion, and then they have retired from the house of God again into their private societies and spent the remaining part of the day in praying together there, excepting so much as was requisite for the duties of the family and closet in their own houses. And it has been found to be of great benefits to assist and engage the minds of the people in the duties of the day. I have often thought it would be a thing very desirable and very likely to be followed with a great blessing if there could be some contrivancy that there should be an agreement with all God's people in America that are well affected to this work to keep a day of fasting and prayer to God, wherein we should all unite on the same day in humbling ourselves before God for our past long continued lukewarmness and unprofitableness, not omitting humiliation for the errors that so many of God's people that have been zealously affected towards their work, through their infirmity and remaining blindness and corruption, have run into, and together with thanksgiving to God for so glorious and wonderful a display of His power and grace in the late outpourings of His Spirit, to address the Father of mercies with prayers and supplications and earnest cries, that He would guide and direct His own people, and that He would continue and still carry on this work, and more abundantly and extensively pour out His Spirit, particularly that He would pour out His Spirit upon ministers, and that He would bow the heavens and come down and erect His glorious kingdom through the earth. Some perhaps may think that its being all on the same day is a circumstance of no great consequence, but I cannot be of that mind. Such a circumstance makes the union and agreement of God's people in His worship the more visible, and puts the greater honor upon God, and would have a great tendency to assist and enliven the devotions of Christians. It seems to me it would mightily encourage and animate God's saints in humbly and earnestly seeking to God for such blessings which concern them all, and that it would be much for the rejoicing of all to think that at the same time such multitudes of God's dear children far and near were sending up their cries to the same common Father for the same mercies. Christ speaks of agreement and asking as what contributes to the providence of the prayers of His people. Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you, that if any of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If the agreement or united purpose and appointment of but two of God's children would contribute much to the prevalency of their prayers, how much more the agreement of so many thousands? Christ delights greatly in the union of His people, as appears by His prayer in the 17th of John, and especially is the appearance of their union in worship lovely and attractive unto Him. I doubt not that such a thing as I have now mentioned is practicable without a great deal of trouble. Some considerable number of ministers might meet together and draw up a proposal wherein a certain day should be pitched upon as a sufficient distance, endeavoring therein to avoid any other public day that might interfere with the design in any of the provinces, and the business of the day should be particularly mentioned, and these proposals should be published and sent abroad into all parts, with the desire that as many ministers as are disposed to fall in with them would propose the matter to their congregations, and having taken their consent, would subscribe their names, together with the places of which they are ministers, and send back the proposals, thus subscribe to the printer. The hands of many ministers might be in one paper, and the printer, having received the paper thus subscribed with all the provinces, might print the proposals again with all the names, thus they might be sent abroad again with the names that God's people might know who are united with them in the affair. One of the ministers of Boston might be described to have the oversight of printing and dispersing the proposals. In such a way, perhaps, might be fulfilled in some measure such a great mourning and supplication of God's people, as is spoken of in Zechariah 12, with which the church's glorious day is to be introduced. And such a day might be something like the Day of Atonement in Israel, before the joyful Feast of Tabernacles. One thing more I would mention concerning fasting and prayer, wherein I think there has been a neglect in ministers, and that is that although they recommend and much insist on the duty of secret prayer in their preaching, so little is said about secret fasting. It is a duty recommended by our Savior to his followers, just in like manner as secret prayer is, as may be seen by comparing the 5th and 6th verses of the 6th chapter of Matthew with verses 16 through 18. Though I do not suppose that secret fasting is to be practiced in a stated manner and steady course of secret prayer, yet it seems to me it is a duty that all professing Christians should practice and frequently practice. There are many occasions of both a spiritual and temporal nature that properly require it, and there are many particular mercies that we desire for ourselves or friends that it would be proper in this manner to seek of God. Another thing I would also mention herein, it appears to me that there has been an omission with respect to the external worship of God. There has been of late a great increase of preaching the word and a great increase of social prayer and a great increase of singing praises. These external duties of religion are attended much more frequently than they used to be, yet I cannot understand that there is any increase of the administration of the Lord's Supper, or that God's people do any more frequently commemorate the dying love of their Redeemer in the sacred memorial of it than they used to do. Though I do not see why an increase of love of Christ should not dispose Christians as much to increase in this as in those other duties, and why it is not as proper that Christian disciples should abound in this duty in this joyful season, which is spiritually supper time, a feast day with God's saints, wherein Christ is so abundantly manifesting his dying love to souls and is dealing forth so liberally of the precious fruits of his death. It seems plainly by the scripture that the primitive Christians were wont to celebrate their memorial of the sufferings of their dear Redeemer every Lord's Day. And so I believe it will be again in the Church of Christ in days that are approaching. And whether we attend this holy and sweet ordinance so often now or not, yet I cannot but think it would become us at such a time as this to attend it much oftener than is commonly done in this land. End of chapter 34, having been read by Peter John Priest, who is also known as Brian Dean. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire to the glory of God.